WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. The Ohio man accused of killing Heather Heyer and driving a car into a crowd of protesters on August 12th in Charlottesville appears in court this week. Harrisonburg City Council announces the location of the new high school on the south side of town, but it won't open for another 5 years. And we confront Virginia's slave owning and slave trading past with a walk along the Richmond Slave Trail. This is the WMRA Daily for Tuesday, July 3rd.
Support for the WMRA Daily comes from the shops at Stonefield at Route 29 and Hydraulic Road in Charlottesville, featuring a collection of shopping, dining, and entertainment experiences with parking available. Learn more at shopsatstonefield.com.
The heat wave hitting Virginia continues, and the National Weather Service has issued a heat advisory for Tuesday from noon until 8 p.m. The same weather pattern that has been sucking up heat and humidity from the tropics is expected to stay in place today, driving the heat index, what it feels like, to as high as 109 degrees. Officials recommend that residents avoid being outside except in the early morning and evening hours, and to drink plenty of water and seek shade if you are outside. Older people and very young children are most at risk for heat stroke when it's this hot. Charlottesville officials again have cooling centers open on Tuesday at the Key Recreation Center, Tonsler Recreation Center, and the Jefferson Madison Regional Library's Central Branch. If necessary, the Key and Tonsler centers will also be open from noon to 4 on the July 4th holiday, that's Wednesday. Forecasters expect that July 4th will be almost as hot, but less humid. An Ohio man accused of killing Heather Heyer and driving a car into a crowd of protesters on August 12th will appear in court this week. James Alex Fields Jr., charged with 30 federal hate crimes, is scheduled to make his initial appearance at an arraignment hearing on Thursday. The charges stem from the attack that killed Heyer and injured many others protesting the white supremacist rally in Charlottesville. Also, Harrisonburg's new high school will be close to the city's Motor Mile near South Main Street and Interstate 81. City Council members and the school board announced the site on Monday. The city plans to purchase the land, a plot of 60 acres, from James Madison University. The council voted last year to address overcrowding at Harrisonburg High School by building a second brand new school. The new school is set to open in 2023. Virginia Democratic Senator Tim Kaine surprised some political watchers when he backed a new bill to decriminalize marijuana at the federal level. Virginia Public Radio's Matt Laszlo reports from Washington.
Marijuana remains illegal in Virginia, but Senator Kaine still wants the state to be protected from the federal government if the governor and the legislature decide to decriminalize marijuana in the Commonwealth. That's why Kaine says he's sponsoring Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer's new bill to decriminalize marijuana federally.
I think the right policy at the federal level is to decriminalize and allow states to make this choice, as we do with other criminal laws. They can make the choice.
According to the latest data available from the Virginia State Police, the Commonwealth saw a 20% spike in marijuana-related arrests between 2016 and 2017, even as some other states have now completely legalized the plant for recreational purposes. Kaine says it's time to stop locking up people over their nonviolent use of marijuana.
And I also think federal decriminalization can go a ways toward dealing with massive inequities in our criminal justice system and the over-incarceration of individuals, but especially of minorities for low-level drug offenses.
A request for comment from Kaine's Senate Republican opponent, Corey Stewart, wasn't answered by airtime. Reporting from the Capitol, I'm Matt Laszlo.
Virginia Republicans are in a state of flux right now, a shift that could have long-term consequences for Virginia politics. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Since Prince William County Board of Supervisors Chairman Corey Stewart won the U.S. Senate primary last month, several Republican leaders in Virginia have been bailing. The latest to step down is the party's chairman, John Whitbeck. Here's Republican strategist Dan Scanling.
He's probably tired. He's ready to spend some more time with his family. And I suspect, too, there's a part of it if he wants to have a political future in Virginia, he doesn't want to have to spend the fall defending Corey at every turn, because that could come back to haunt him down the road.
Democratic strategist Ben Tribbett says the Republican Party of Virginia is a mess.
What's really different about this one is because of what Corey's done, especially with his ties to some of these white nationalists, that it's made a lot of people in the party very uncomfortable.
Stewart has tried to distance himself from those white nationalists, but Democrats are already using images of Stewart posing with Confederate flags to show a contrast between the Republican ticket and incumbent Democrat Tim Kaine. I'm Michael Pope.
A commission in Richmond is recommending removal of a monument of Confederate President Jefferson Davis from Monument Avenue. As WCVE's Megan Pauley reports, the recommendation is part of a final report released Monday by the city's Monument Avenue Commission.
Most of the recommendations focus on providing historical context through signage, for example. They also call for additional monuments, such as one to honor the U.S. colored troops. Richmond Mayor LeVar Stoney says he thinks all of the recommendations are actionable.
We are a historic city. That's one of our great qualities. But I want folks to know that we're not the city we were 100 years ago, and that we are inclusive, that we are diverse, and that we are welcoming.
The commission's final recommendation is to remove the city's monument to Jefferson Davis, president of the Confederacy. Doing so would require changing a Virginia law that bars removal of memorials to war veterans. In Richmond, I'm Megan Pauley, WMRA News.
For generations, the trade of enslaved Africans fueled Virginia's economy, and Richmond was once the hub of that market. For those who want to confront that difficult past, there is the Richmond Slave Trail. Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain went along on the nighttime tour and has this report.
There is a sliver of a moon and stars, the James River on the right side, and this line of people carrying torches.
Somebody's calling my name.
Those people are the group I'm joining. They've gathered just outside downtown Richmond for what proves to be an immersive experience. They're lined up and tied together, simulating the iron shackles that once chained enslaved Africans.
Unloaded right here from the bowels of the boat, this concealed cargo disembarked only at night to the crack of the whip in the shadows and shame. Spanning nearly 350 years. The transatlantic trade displaced more than 12 million Africans from their native lands to foreign soils. By the end of the 18th century, Virginia was wholly committed to the practice of slavery. Repeat after me. Today I know.
Today I grow.
Today I know.
Today I grow.
Come on! Let's go!
Move!
Come on!
Move!
Come on, boy! I said move! Time is money, money is time! Come on!
Their heads are bowed low as they walk. Their faces as they pass are grim. It's hot. It's not comfortable.
Well, enslavement wasn't comfortable, not one day.
Janine Bell led the tour. She's the president of the Elegba Folklore Society, a nonprofit in Richmond that teaches the legacy of African culture in American society.
If we can reach people at a feeling place, which is our intention, even if they take it in their head, they process it in their spirit, in their core, in their center.
Is everybody here?
Yes.
Take a breath. Breathe in. Breathe out.
Back in downtown Richmond, it's nearing midnight, and the group has just finished their tour. Melissa Short is from Richmond, but had never walked the trail before.
I found it to be reflective that our narrator began to sing along the trail the African songs.
Take me to the water.
A lot of the songs that were sung, my parents sang. My mother would be 103. My father would have been 100 years old this year. And so having heard those old songs brought memory to me that was soothing, yet not as well, because the memories of what they experienced, I even have my mother's, it's a card that allowed her to vote because she paid her $5. I have her card. I know that she walked with Dr. King in the first march on Washington.
Take me to the water.
In Richmond, I'm Mallory Nopain.
Take me to the water.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levickin. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Tuesday, and stay cool.